Welcome to Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's people to reach God's chosen. Brought to you by Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas. You can reach us online at www.goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. I'm Eddie Eddy, Director of Education, and with me is Reverend Willie Milbury. He's the pastor at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, and Dr. Jeff Gutterman with Aerial Ministries. And we're here to crank up the joy! It's on you, Pastor.
Okay, good morning. Good afternoon. That's what they told me to say. Good afternoon. We are so thankful to be here. We just thank God for this time, this opportunity. And I thank you for listening today. And we also cherish your comments, your phone calls, your response to the things that we talk about, because we want to have a program that's going to encourage people to witness. It's scary, but we got to encourage people to witness. And I want to tell you why. Something took place this week, and it's just one of those things that you have to address it from the church's position. Something took place this week in the state of New York, and the state of Virginia is trying to do a very similar thing. It's just incredible. The state of New York has determined that you can kill your own child up until the day they're born. And Virginia is trying to do the same thing. Now, I bring that up, and I know that's a tough subject for a lot of people, but let me tell you why we bring it up from the Bible. Here's what we do. Look at this. Have you ever heard of the name Shiphrah? S-H-I-P-H-R-A-H. Shiphrah.
Who is that?
Or Puah. P-U-A-H.
Nope.
Okay. Well, you have heard of Moses, though, right?
I have heard of Moses.
Heard of Moses.
Yes.
Understand, if not for these two ladies, Shiphrah and Puah, the midwives, there'd be no Moses.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
Understand, this is why the urgency of why we have to get the good news of people out, let them know that God loves them, Jesus loves them, and not only that, he wants them to tell everybody about him, be their witnesses.
Amen.
And what these two ladies did was, and you'll find it in Exodus chapter 1, you'll see where the government told them, the king, Pharaoh, said, kill the babies. And the women, the Bible says that the women feared God.
Amen.
That's what we're hearing. When you get the good news, when you hear that, when you have that joy inside of you that only God's word can bring, you have a healthy fear of God. And so what we want to do is we want to spread this good news to people and let them think about this. They did this in Exodus 1. That's way before the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
So they knew it was wrong even then. So we have to grab our brothers, our sisters, and I'm talking to Christian folks, y'all. We have to grab them and let them know that forgiveness is available.
Yes.
Let them know that you can't get too far from God's love. You can't get outside of God's reach. No matter what you've done, no matter when you did it, you just cry out to the Lord. Come into agreement with him.
Yeah.
I did wrong, and your son is in command, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, and so we want this listening audience, receive the joy of your salvation. Share that good news with
Amen.
Other folks, and let them know we can't head down this path as a nation, as a people. God's forgiveness is available, but it will only happen when we stand like Shiphrah and Puah and spread the good news.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
Okay.
Give us a kind of recap of what we went through last week with Dr. Gutterman and you and the discussion topics.
Okay. Well, Brother Dr. Gutterman. I like that. It's got a nice ring to it. Brother Dr. Gutterman. And he is my brother. Before, he's the doctor.
That's my brother. That's right.
He's my brother in Christ.
Mine too.
And so last week, last program, he was discussing, talking about how God brought him to faith, saved him from what he referred as the promised land, New York City, Yankee Stadium, but put him into the real promised land. Okay. So
he was misguided.
We were just talking about his testimony, how he came to faith in Jesus Christ as his Messiah, and then also we were talking about how do we build these bridges, you know? And there's always, there should be no conflict because we know we have to get to other people. When we don't, we have to speak the truth in love to other people. And so we were talking about how do we do that? Do we do it quickly? Do we do it slowly? And we came to the conclusion, you do it as the Holy Spirit guides.
Amen.
You don't do any of this stuff on your own. It's like when you see those TV commercials, don't try this at home alone. This is what the gospel is. You better have the Holy Spirit guide you, whatever you want to do. And so we were also discussing the whole issue of, do Jews need to come to faith in Jesus Christ? And the answer, according to Scripture, is a resounding yes. So with that being said, today we're going to hit a few things, but that's kind of what we were talking about. We addressed those things last program. What do we have on our agenda for today?
Well, today we have on our agenda, Pastor, how do Jews get to heaven? And what's the difference between a Jew getting in saved versus a Gentile? The other thing is this replacement theology. I think we're going to
repeat that.
Replacement theology. This
replacement, as in
black Jews versus Jews.
Jews.
So, who is a Jew?
Or a Presbyterian church? Or some church that says that they now have all the blessings that God.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
So we need to address that topic so that the listeners can better understand when they're confronted with these types of things, how to.
Okay, well, I think it's time for us to. Is it time for us to take a break yet?
Not yet. We've got about 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, Brother Jeff, introduce yourself. Tell the folks who you are.
I'm Jeff Gutterman, and I am the branch director, Dallas-Fort Worth branch director of Ariel Ministries, which is an international ministry whose headquarters are in San Antonio, Texas. We have branches throughout the world, in Germany, in Hungary, in Israel, in Japan.
Wow.
In Japan we have a group. We have people in, I don't have the list in front of me right now, but we do have people in this nation. We have, of course, Texas and New Mexico. We do travel. We do teach in other churches. And to speak to what you just mentioned, many times I have gone into churches to teach, and I'm asked, what is your opinion of the Jewish people? And what am I, my opinion? My opinion is, I'm Jewish and I'm a believer in Messiah, and I would like to see my Jewish unbelieving brethren become my spiritual brethren in Messiah. They're unbelievers. They believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they don't believe in their Messiah who has already come. And that was part of our testimony last week, where I was basically told that when I wasn't a believer, that my Messiah had come, and I didn't understand that. I knew who Messiah, I knew the concept of Messiah, but I said, my Messiah hasn't come yet, and I was told, yes, he has, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Now, his Hebrew name is Yeshua. That's what his mother called him. So if you ever hear me mention Yeshua, I'm talking about our Lord. But I'm asked, what makes the Jewish people better than us? These are the people who are not Jewish in churches. And I'll say, well, where do you get the idea that the Jewish people are better than anybody else? Well, you're the chosen people, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I said, yes. I said, have you ever been in the military? And some people say yes, some people say no. But I bet if you've been in the military, you may have been chosen for duty that didn't particularly suit you.
But you were chosen.
And I never got into details, of course, because everybody who was ever in military probably had a story of something they were chosen to do. And I said, we were chosen because this is the way God works. Take a look at the entire Bible. We look at the entire Bible. I do not teach Judaism. I teach Bible.
Amen.
When I go into a place to teach. And I said, when you take a look at God's plans, he always picks the most unlikely. He always picks the least able, at least it looks that way. And it's for his glory that he does these things, not that he needs it, but we need to remember and give him glory so that we keep following the right path.
So whenever something plays out for God's glory, it's for our benefit.
That's right.
Ah, I like, I like,
that's
I like.
Right.
And one other thing I was going to say, when you're talking about how God picks these things, the word sovereign came to my mind. And because here we are telling people we're supposed to give the gospel to the Jew first and also the Greek. And we always get the question, well, why? Why? Because God said so. He's sovereign.
He's, you know, the Jews call him Abba. That means father in okay. Hebrew. And I know that I was raised by a Jewish father. Now, is the Lord Jewish? Yes, but no, he's everything. I mean, he created the Jewish people.
Yes.
It says that in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, it tells us that he created Israel.
Yes.
So we know that he created Israel. But here's the thing. There were times with my father when he would tell me to do something, and I would ask him why, and I think this is the answer. Why are we supposed to give it to the Jews first? Because he said so.
Simply.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we just ain't that deep. But it's difficult for people when you say God said it, and that's just the way it is. And understand, that's not a bad thing. It will be for your blessing, for your benefit, because he says, when you obey me, you will be blessed. You will receive the benefit. So we'll get some more and get into that a little bit more as the program goes on, talking about God's sovereignty and what about the Jewish nation and being chosen. And most of all, what do they say or think about the issue of heaven and hell? What's the thought process on heaven and hell?
And it's Isaiah 43:1 where it says that God created Israel.
Okay, now we've got this going, and we'll get right back to it. But for now, this is Listen for the Joy, a listener-supported ministry brought to you by Good Shepherd Baptist Church, located at 1880 Mayfield Road in Grand Prairie, Texas. We're just two lights west of Highway 161 at the intersection of Mayfield and Waterwood Roads. You can find us online at www.goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. Come join us on this program every first and third Saturday of the month at 1 p.m. right here on KHVN Heaven 97. We'll be encouraging God's people to reach God's chosen, and we're going to crank up the joy, and we're opening up the phone lines. Give us a call at 972-996-3970. That number again is 972-996-3970. Give us a call. Tell us about your last evangelist experience, your last witnessing attempt. And if you didn't do it, tell us why. Share with the listeners how you feel about witnessing. All right, back to you, Pastor Will.
Okay. Well, first thing up on our conversation here with Brother Gutterman is I saw where this week they had a remembrance for the Holocaust. Will you please explain to me, first off, you told me that was one for the UN, but that's there's a totally different, what's up with that?
There's one in March, well, it depends on how it falls on the on our calendar. Sometimes it's in March or so. It's called the Yom HaShoah, the Day of the Holocaust. It's a Holocaust Remembrance Day. That's in Israel. That's not what we just celebrated. What we celebrated now was the United Nations Holocaust Remembrance Day, which is interesting because when we see what the United Nations has been producing in the way of rulings against Israel,
yes,
at least they still do that. So it's just a remembrance of the Holocaust. And I always like to share with people that genocide is not a particularly Jewish thing. It's a human element. It's a human condition.
Amen.
We can go into almost any period of history where a group has cheapened the lives of another group and has killed many, many people. But what's particularly important to look at with the Jewish persecution that's gone on through history is, number one, how long a period of time it continues to go on, and then to look at really the reason. And Jewish persecution is a very spiritually motivated event.
Well, you don't, Brother Gunnerman, that's what I find interesting is that we teach all day, every day, that the battle is spiritual. But yet and still, when the shoe leather hits the street, we always go at the person instead of the real root. So continue on that thought about it's Genesis, a spiritual situation.
Right. In Genesis 3:15, we get the first prophecy of a Messiah, but it also basically is explaining that Satan and the Messiah, that Satan will bruise his heel, but the Messiah will crush his head. And Satan knows what's in the Bible. What yes. Satan doesn't know is what God's plan is until God reveals it.
Right.
So in Genesis 3:15, what he knew was that God's telling him, somebody's coming to destroy you, and he's going to pay attention to what God puts out there. And he sees that God chose the Jewish people for the lineage through which Messiah would come into the world. So from the time of Genesis 3:15 to the time that Messiah came into the world, the Jewish people were a target of eradication in the world, motivated by the satanic spirit.
Yes.
And he sent his demons to try and wipe out the Jewish people. And we can just look back quickly at history. Hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Why not? Because God doesn't want it to happen.
Because he's sovereign.
And he said that the Jewish people are not going to be destroyed. Many Jewish people have been killed, but as a people group, they have not been destroyed, will not be destroyed. So when we go from that, we then have to say, well, who's a Jew?
Right, yeah.
How do we know who a Jewish person is? You know, a lot of people say they're Jewish. Are they Jewish? Some people are Jewish and say they're not Jewish. What is it? And it really is a matter of genetics.
Okay.
When we look back at the Bible, and there are two ways of looking at who's a Jew. There's the biblical way, and there's the rabbinical way. And
what's the difference?
Well, there is a difference. There's a difference in that the rabbinical way, after the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, there hasn't been a temple in Jerusalem since, the Jewish spiritual life centered around the synagogue. And the rabbi became the leader of the synagogues. And the rabbis, for very good reasons, were very concerned that the Jewish people were never again going to be judged the way they were judged by the Babylonian in 586 BC when they destroyed the first temple, and then the Romans destroyed the second temple. And the rabbi said, we don't need this anymore. So they began to come up with a code that they called the oral law. That they said God gave Moses a lot of laws that we didn't write down.
We didn't write down.
We're going to write it down now.
Moses missed them. Amen.
Well, just for an example, if you have a swimming pool and you have young children, you know that swimming pool can be a real danger to a child. I mean, you should monitor your children anyway.
Right.
But even so, you can turn away for a little bit, and if nobody's watching, you can have problems. So you put a fence around that pool. And the reason you put a fence around that pool is so that when you're not there, you lock the fence, and that child may get as far as the fence, but they won't get into the pool. Well, that's pretty much what the rabbis wanted to do. They said, let's make these laws, these rules, better said, let's make these rules that will stop us before we get to the point that we can get in trouble.
So therefore, you come up with this whole book of codes, if you will.
Well, it took hundreds of years to write down. It was called the Mishnah. It was called the Gemara. Now they know it as everything together is called the Talmud.
The Talmud.
And the rabbis study that tremendously. The problem is that over the centuries, they've raised the value of those rules to being equal to Scripture.
Or actually above, supersede Scripture, because when you're talking, because if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Messiah, and the Scriptures point you in that direction, then you have allowed these books to supersede what thus saith the Lord. And that's not only an issue in the Jewish community, that's an issue in the church at large.
That's
because
true.
We constantly want to find some kind of new way to make people do it my way.
And whenever you see Jesus
become
challenging
relevant.
This, he's challenging the rabbinical law, not the Scripture.
There you go. There you go.
And watch and read as you read through the New Testament when he challenges. He's challenging the Pharisees because he did keep the law perfectly, because that was the requirement that no human being without a divine spirit could do. And we, all of us were born with Adam's sin.
It's called a bent to our nature. When you said that about how Jesus challenged the rabbinical teachings, It makes me think how Jesus would say, "You've heard it said, but look at when he met with Satan in the wilderness. He said, 'It is written.'"
Right. That's so, it. And so he said that to the Pharisees.
Yeah, he said
to the people, "You've heard it said," was a reference to the Pharisees,
yes,
and the Talmudic laws. And he always said, "But it is written."
But it is written,
which means let's go to the scripture.
Right. It supersedes what was said.
So the rabbis had a good intent. But I'll give you a very quick example of something that is out of control. Growing up, I was taught that you could not have meat and milk. You couldn't have a cheeseburger because one was meat and one was dairy.
No cheeseburger. No bacon.
Let's stick to cheeseburgers right now. And what was the reason? Because in Leviticus it says you shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. Well, what's that all about? Well, that was a prohibition of a pagan practice. So God puts that in the Levitical law. You're not to take the meat of a... This was a pagan ritual. The meat of the mother and boil it you shall not boil a kid. Take the meat of the baby goat and boil it in the milk of the mother. That's pagan. And so what the rabbis said was, well, if you eat meat and then you either drink milk or any dairy product or cheese or anything, well, in your stomach there's a little boiling pot in there, I guess they thought.
So you're in violation.
And so they said you cannot eat meat. There had to be like a 6 or 7 hour interval to allow the digestion, I guess, to take place. And because they felt that would be unknowingly causing a pagan ritual to be done. So this is the level that I've been told by some people when they see me eating a cheeseburger today that I'm sinning. And I'm not sinning, and the Jewish people aren't sinning. They may be breaking a rabbinical law, but they're not breaking scripture.
Okay.
I've got to get you back on topic here. Okay. We're talking about the difference between rabbinical Jews and biblical Jews in the definition.
So, the rabbis today say that the way you determine Jewishness of a person in a marriage where there is a Jew and a non-Jew in a marriage is you look at the mother. If the mother is Jewish, the child is Jewish. Now, that's not scripture.
So that's rabbinical Jew.
Well, the Bible is a patriarchal book.
Right.
You do look at the father.
Right.
To see the lineage. And how do we get to that? Well, who did God choose to be the patriarch, the first patriarch of...
Joseph.
First patriarch of the Jewish people.
Oh, Abraham.
Abraham, right. And Abraham was told that he would be the... This new nation. He was told in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. I think we should read that because that's...
Go ahead. What's it say?
Let me get it here.
Before you get there, now we're on the line of rabbinical Jew or biblical Jew, because I think we've transitioned to biblical Jew when you start to bring in Abraham. Is that right?
You're going... Well, that's the beginning of the Jewish people.
Right. So that would be the biblical description of a Jew.
Correct. Now, the Lord said to Abram, Genesis 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing." And verse 3, "And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So now we have promises. God is making a promise to this one man with a barren wife. She did not have children.
Yes.
And he tells him, leave where you are, where you're living, and leave your relatives, although he brought some of them with him, of course. And he's going to bring him to a land that he shows him, and he will make him a great nation. And Abraham, I'm sure, was like,
really?
Really? Well, what we see in there...
This is the faith Abraham had.
Right.
And what we see in there, not only did he promise Abraham to be blessed, he said to the rest of the world, true, Abraham.
Amen.
And that's why we have this program, because we want everybody to be blessed by treating God's folks the way they're supposed to be treated. He said, bless them, and I'll bless you.
Well, that's verse 3, which we haven't gotten to yet, because I want to finish verse 2, because he says, I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless you, I'll make your name great. Okay, that's not for his ego. That's for God's glory.
Right? Amen. First and foremost, God's glory.
And so you shall be a blessing. Okay, so Abraham now is basically going to be a conduit to be a blessing to whom? To the nations. He says this in 3, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That means everybody.
Amen.
As we know, that choice to be blessed by the promise that God made to Abraham. Now, Abraham has, there's a lineage that we have to look at, because Abraham had many sons, sir. I remember that song.
Father Abraham had many sons. Okay, go ahead.
And God tells him that he will sire a child, and Sarah hisses and laughs.
Yeah.
And a year later, however, she does give birth, and the child she gives birth to. Now, first, before that, Sarah said, I'll never have a baby, and she gives him Hagar, who was her Egyptian slave, and Ishmael is born before Isaac is born.
Yeah.
Isaac means laughter, by the way.
Yeah, and that whole situation between Ishmael and Isaac, that seems to be problematic throughout the scriptures, and we'll spend some time on that at some point in time, but...
So the biblical Jew is, let me clarify.
We're not done yet.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
We still have a lineage to go through.
Okay.
You want like that?
Yeah.
We go from Isaac. Now, Isaac, he had two sons. He had Jacob and Esau.
That's right. Mm.
And quite frankly, Jacob was the second born. He did not have the right to to receive that lineage. And yet there's a subterfuge. And there is a little bit of cheating going on there, and his mother helps him. But God also indicates that Jacob is going to be the chosen seed. And once we get to that point, the 12 sons of Jacob are the 12 tribes of Israel. So the lineage here is Abraham, not Ishmael or the other children,
the other children that he sired.
It goes from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. And then any descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a biblical Jew.
Amen. Okay. This is Listen for the Joy, a listener-supported ministry brought to you by Good Shepherd Baptist Church, located at 1880 Mayfield Road in Grand Prairie, Texas. You can find us online at www.goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. You can join us each and every first and third Saturday of the month at 1 p.m. right here on KHVN. It's call-in time, and that number is 972-996-3970. We want you to give us some of your experience about witnessing, evangelizing, and maybe some of your difficulties. We can help. We've got an education ministry at the church that helps with evangelism and witnessing. Again, that number is 972-996-3970. We're going to get back to the discussion that we're having about who is a Jew. We just heard from Dr. Gutterman that a Jew is biblically someone from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Anybody from that lineage. Now we're going to find out with some clarity who is a rabbinical Jew.
Well, But in the meantime,
we got...
It's time for our daily dose
of joy.
You bring me joy.
Yeah.
One of these days we're going to get the recording, but still, while we're low budget right now, you got to hear the pastor saying amen. Anyhow, today, instead of having, I would have some kind of a joke for you guys, because I like the levity. But this is something, just so you'll know, that as preachers and teachers, we have to practice what we preach. Amen.
Amen.
We tell people, oh man, just count it all joy. And well, I just got a diagnosis from the doctor. Doctor told me I got to have eye surgery on Monday. And I said, count it all. Ooh, bam! And but you know what? I went to the scriptures. I went over to Acts chapter 26, verse 2, and I looked at the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was standing before King Agrippa. And here Paul is literally getting ready to lose his head. People said, now, Pastor, how are you going to come with some joy out of that? When I look at that, see, everybody I'm talking to is going through something. They're dealing with something. They've got a doctor's diagnosis. They got something going on. And Paul had something. Christians face very serious stuff. But here's what the Bible says. Paul says, when he looked at King Agrippa, he said, King Agrippa, I think myself happy. I said, oh, man. I said, wait a minute. This man's getting ready to get his head cut off. He said, I'm just getting ready to get something cut on my eye. And he said, I think myself happy. And how do you do that? You got to first let the joy of God's salvation come into your life. And only when you have that joy can you face these situations and these circumstances, because what you do is you base Paul. The only way he could say I think myself happy is he has to think back and look back on what God has done, what God is doing, and what God has promised to do in my life. And when I do that, I can think myself happy and have the joy of God and salvation. That's it, bro. I just want to drop that on y'all. Understand, God loves you. He's going to take care of you. Listen for the joy.
And Paul was looking beyond that axe blade.
Amen.
Right.
To the glory he was headed for.
Amen.
Amen.
So
that's a good point. You know what, Pastor? The greatest tool that we have in our toolkit to witness to anyone, whether it be Jew or Gentile, is the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. And when we say crank up the joy, we mean it, because it's really the most potent tool that you have. Folks see your joy and they wonder, how can I get me some of that?
How do I make it through that situation?
That's right.
But by the way, that takes us back to, why are we sitting here talking to this Jewish man? Why do we read this book with all this Jewish stuff in it? He says, because I give you these things as examples, so you won't have to deal with it, so you would respond correctly. You won't sin as they did, and then have to get the rebukes that they got from God. And look at God's love.
Amen.
Look at his love and his care.
Amen.
And even through it all, he still said, just like a good father would say to any child, he's still my child.
Amen.
He's still my child.
Amen.
And nobody gets to take his place. You can't whip me, but I can whip him. He's still my child.
Amen.
And just before you jump back in on that one thing, Brother Gutterman, I was going to say in Genesis 12:3, and this was brought out to me by Brother Savalowski, Brother Phil. He said, in Genesis 12:3, he says, I'll bless those who bless. Let me go back there to it, because it's okay. He goes, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. You know what? Look at how personal God says. God says, I'm going to bless them, and I'm going to get you. See, because I used to say it all the time. I'll bless those who bless thee, and I'll bless them, and I'll curse them who curse me.
Right,
no, God made it personal.
Yeah.
God said, no, it's him. If you, it's you. So we can't say, my church said it, or my doctor said it, or my professor said it, or my mama said it. No, he said, you.
Amen.
So
you're accountable.
You're accountable.
One more point to that, because that's the next step where we go. But I'll bring it in here because you just brought it up. The Hebrew words for bless and curse in Genesis 12:3. In Hebrew, there is a form of the verbs that is called the intensive. It's kind of like when we say stop, it's an imperative. It's got urgency behind it. In those two, those words, blessing and cursing, it is the intensive. So if you really want to get the literal translation of that scripture, I will mightily, or I will intensely bless those who bless you, who intensely bless you, and I will intensely curse those who intensely curse you.
That is good. Helps the understanding.
God has taken Israel in a very personal way, and he takes every believer the same personal way.
Amen.
Anybody who follows him. And, of course, the Jewish people have had a long history with him.
Yeah. Well, Jewish people again.
Yeah. And what we as Gentiles have to understand, if God does not keep his word to Israel and to the
Jews. That's right.
People,
there's no reason.
How can we trust him when he says, I will never leave you or forsake you?
Yeah.
So before you start putting Israel under the bus, remember, if he throws them under the bus, your salvation is on shaky ground.
Exactly.
The rear tires are coming.
And what's interesting is God hasn't fulfilled all of his promises.
Amen.
But he has fulfilled many of them exactly the way he said to.
Amen.
And if anybody says to you that this is mythology, no, it's history.
Yes.
And we're still going through history. So there's still things to be done. But to get back to being Jewish is a matter of genetics. And even for the rabbis, it's a matter of genetics. But they've changed it throughout the years. From the time of the Crusades, when quote Christian armies who claimed they were fighting and they were believers, they were warriors, and unfortunately they didn't always do Christian things. They would go through Europe, and when they would come to a Jewish town, on occasion they would actually kill the men and rape the women, and if the men escaped, they escaped, but mostly they did a lot of damage depending upon where they were and what time in history. So what the rabbi said was, for these women who would give birth, how would you know which one the father would be? Was it the Jewish husband who would have relations with them? Or was it that non-Jewish soldier who may have implanted his seed in that woman? So what the rabbi said was, if the woman is Jewish in a mixed marriage of Jew and non-Jew, if the woman is Jewish, well, we know, no matter what, whether the father is Jewish or not, we know she's Jewish, so the baby's Jewish. Now, that goes against the scriptures. But here's the thing. The rabbis never really wanted to, and still to this day, they don't want to raise this law above the scriptures. They make it equal. What they're saying is, yes, we follow the scriptures, but we also follow the oral law. And there's still a blindness there.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's when that blindness, which I had as well, you're talking about a culture that's thousands of years old and has followed. The Mosaic Law has been the thing that's kept the Jewish people united. That was God's plan. It's kept them united in the sense of no matter where they lived in the world, they had a Jewish identity. Yeah. And so that was a good thing. But now that Messiah has come, what we are talking about here is we want to share Messiah with all people, but let's not forget the Jewish person. And so the next, so now we have, who is a Jew, descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Who is a Greek, or in the scriptures they call
Gentiles,
Greeks, or the Gentile or nations? Here is what, throughout history, what we had. From the time of Abraham, we had Jews and Gentiles.
Right.
It was simple. If you weren't a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you were a Gentile. Now, who is a Christian? A Christian is any person, or Gentile, any person on this earth who receives Messiah as his Lord and Savior, acknowledges that he paid for the sins that we could never pay for, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. It's Romans 10:9-10. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you're saved.
And
that's who a Christian is.
And God
is.
Raised him from the dead.
But to a Jewish person, a Christian is somebody who, well, you just got born into a Christian family, like we did. Jews are born into a family. And when they see a Christian, they would be more open to hearing the gospel from a non-Jewish believer than a Jewish believer. And what's the reason for that? Because the Jewish believer is seen as a traitor. You're one of us, and now you're going
to the other side.
That Christian faith with that Christian God, Jesus. And so I just want.
But you know, that kind of plays out in different cultures as well, because even in the African American community, sometimes the biblical teachings, the words of the Bible, are looked at as the Europeans' God. And so, but what we want to do by getting people to listen for the joy is understand that he's the God of all. He has no peers. There's nobody, there's none beside him. And he says, but it's the most exclusive, inclusive club there is. He said, it's exclusive that none but the righteous, only those who believe, shall enter into the kingdom of God. He said, but it's inclusive. He says, whosoever will. And that's the good news that we're trying to get out here into the listening audience. The good news is that anybody and everybody, you is a candidate for you being a witness to them about Jesus Christ and what God has done in your life and what he will do in their life.
So look, here's the question that I have. Do Jews automatically, because of their status, because they're chosen, do they automatically go to heaven? Because that seems to be the case to me.
That's what's being taught in a lot of places.
That's a very good question, but you have to have a little bit of context. Chosen for what? What was the Jew chosen for? I've read the scriptures. I've studied it.
He's God's chosen people.
Chosen for what? I haven't read that they were chosen for salvation. I read that they were chosen to follow God and to be a light to the world. And that light was and is and has led to Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. That's the purpose. I call the Jewish people God's object lesson.
Amen.
Okay.
If you want to see God's power, look at the Jewish people. You want an example? Here it is. And that's the way I look at it. You want to see what happens when you follow me? Look at how great Solomon's kingdom was. You want to see what happens when you don't follow me? Let's talk about the Babylonians, who in Habakkuk, when Habakkuk is asking God how long all of this, this terrible culture is going to continue, he says, you'll be amazed who I'm going to send. And when he tells him it's the Babylonians, Habakkuk is shocked. People don't realize, because the Babylonians were a minor nation at that time. They had been great at one point.
Now, when you say Habakkuk, you're talking about Habakkuk.
Habakkuk.
Right.
Yes. Habakkuk in Hebrew.
Habakkuk in African American.
He said,
just so you know.
So Habakkuk is like shocked and amazed. But isn't that how God works? Isn't that what we just said?
Yeah.
He does things so people will see his glory.
Yeah.
And in effect, what I'm saying to my Jewish brothers is, look, this is not the Christian God. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who sent his son. And his son came to pay a price that no human ever conceived then to now could ever pay because of that sin from Adam. And he sent him to pay that price for salvation. And that's what I want them to see. It's not a foreign
concept. It's not a foreign God.
Concept. Messiah is very Jewish. The Jews know what the Messiah is.
So would you say, you're talking about how the Jews are God's object lesson. Some people don't realize, and would you help us out, the people who live in Israel today, they are still the Jews of old, correct?
They're descendants of them.
They're the descendants of the Jews.
I hope they're not the Jews of old.
But I'm telling you.
They'll drive on the street.
They will live.
Actually,
we're going to get back to that.
On that point, a lot of people don't realize that they're the same people group. So when we're talking about Israel today, we're talking about Israel 2019, they're thinking, oh, well, this is a whole different people group. And at some point, we've got to get people to understand God has not changed that. He has not changed his selection. And so therefore, that Genesis 12:3 that we read about the Jews then applies to Genesis 12:3, applies to Israel 2019, same thing. I'll bless those who bless thee. I will curse those who curse thee.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead, Ed.
Well, all right. I just wanted to let our listening audience know that we're on Facebook. It's www.facebook.com/GSBC. Listen for the joy. www.facebook.com/GS.com and then GSBC, listen for the joy. So you can hear us on Facebook and make your comments there if you so desire. Right now you're on Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's people to reach God's chosen, brought to you by the Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas. You can find us online at www.goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. So there's two places you can get in touch with us. One is at Good Shepherd, the online address, and then on Facebook. Right now, we've got our phone lines open at 972-996-3970. Those of you who are listening on Facebook, you can call in at 972-996-3970. Or if you're just listening on your radio, you can call in on 972-996-3970. Now, back to our program.
Okay. Go ahead, Brother Jeff.
And when we look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, God speaking, he says, "For you are a people," speaking about the chosen people, "for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession." And we can stop there. He says, he says, out of all the peoples on the face of the earth.
Okay.
When we take a look at that, what's changed? I don't know anything in Scripture that says that God has gone back on anything that he's promised.
Never.
And when you put this Deuteronomy verse together with Genesis 12:3 about blessing for blessing and cursing for cursing, there's a lesson to be learned here. If you come across a Jewish person and you develop some sort of an interaction, it doesn't have to be a deep relationship, but an interaction, and they see something about your opinions, the way you act, and they start to talk to you on a personal level, it will benefit you to share with them your faith.
Yes.
Don't think that they do not have a separate covenant that gives them salvation separate and apart from anybody else. It's all the same.
They have to believe on the name of Jesus Christ.
John 14:6 is for every human being. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Well,
and that's what we need to remember. And to bless a Jewish person with the gospel, while they may be angered perhaps, the best way to do it is let them know this is what you believe, rather than telling them that they need to believe it. Maybe they'll get it after a while.
Let me tell you, insert this. I've told you about it a little bit earlier. I read the magazines from Jews for Jesus, and they were, in their latest magazine, they wrote that they were going to speak going to go speak at a church in Pennsylvania. They were going to go speak at a church.
Mm-hmm.
And Jews for Jesus is an organization that tries to make the awareness of Jesus Christ being Jewish and salvation very similar to what we do here. But they were slated to go speak at a church. But then the shooting occurred in Philadelphia. That horrible shooting occurred in Philadelphia. And the church called them back and said, "Well, because of this, we don't want you to come and encourage our people in witnessing." And Dr. Jeff, there's something that gets mixed up here. If you love God's people, wouldn't the most important thing be to talk to them about Messiah? To talk
that
to them
makes
about
sense.
Jesus?
Absolutely.
That makes
but
sense.
What happens is that people feel that anybody like me, as I said before, a Jewish person who's a believer in Messiah and is willing and able and does share it with other Jewish people, all people, and Jewish people as well, this particular body, I don't know the pastor, I don't know what he was thinking,
yeah.
All I know is what I read in the newspaper, which I take with a grain of salt. But basically, what he was concerned that the Jewish people look on the Messianic Jews, the Jewish believers,
okay,
as a danger to Jewish existence. And and that's the reason why he backed off.
Okay.
It was not done. I don't believe he's anti-Semitic because
right.
he did
nope.
invite them to
nope.
come in the first place. Jews for Jesus, they do a lot of street evangelism. I call them the boots on the ground.
Right.
They say that they are going to make Messiah an unavoidable issue
yeah.
to the Jewish people. So
And that upsets a lot of people. But then again, I think Elijah upset a lot of people. I think John the Baptist upset a lot of people. And Jeremiah did a lot of crying. And so God uses different folks with those different approaches. And the thing is, we just want folks to talk to them.
Well, Pastor Will, what do you think is the best approach, though? There's a lot of different approaches. What's the best one?
I really believe the best approach is the one that when you pray And the Lord says to you, this is a coworker. Just start talking to him. Or when you pray and you're at a restaurant and there's somebody that you're pretty sure you're never going to see him again. You're pretty sure. You open your mouth. You find Amen. Something. You find something to talk about. You Amen. Nothing. How about them Cowboys? And, you know, you find something to talk about, and then you purposely take it to the gospel.
Make it an unavoidable issue.
Make it an unavoidable issue, because there's a really good chance that you may never see that person again, and you have to think like that. Because, and not because he might not make it, you might not make it.
Amen.
So while you have, while God gives you that opportunity, first pray. First say, Lord, it's not if you want me to, because he said in his word, go.
Right.
You remember that part, go, in the Greek, go, in the Hebrew, go, in the English, go. He said, but now we got to say how.
Yeah.
And so, again, the three of us have different approaches of how we meet people and greet people and witness. But I believe that the best approach is to approach.
Dr. Gutterman,
well,
your thoughts.
I want to go back because okay. I told you that the Bible is history. I mean, these things have actually happened, what people say that Scripture is there. And as far as speaking about this particular church,
yes,
I think even Jews for Jesus said it, if I read it in the article, we pray for that pastor.
Yes.
Because
he's
dealing with a very real situation.
Tough situation.
And he needs some time to really consider what he's done. So we pray that people will be open. We pray the churches will be open to hearing what Jewish believers have to tell them about their part in sharing the gospel with Jewish unbelievers. But let's go back to the history of what we're talking about here, because Genesis 12:3 actually is seen in history, and we can go back to ancient history, look at Egypt, and look at the history that Egypt had with the Jewish people. Egypt is no longer the world power they once were. As a matter of fact, they were pretty much driven down to a point where they were not much of a world power to begin with. When you come out of the biblical
right.
times, Egypt is not a major power in the world. When you look at Babylon, who was not so great, and then God made them great for what purpose? To chastise the Jewish people.
Yep.
This is what Habakkuk was told. And Persia conquers them. And Babylon and Persia, part of why they maintained their power as long as they did. Take a look at Babylon. Who did Babylon raise up to the second highest power in the land? Daniel. Daniel was second behind the Nebuchadnezzar.
Okay.
And then Persia comes in, and Daniel is still raised all the way up. Who sends the Jewish people back to Israel? Cyrus, a Persian leader. And once those nations eventually turned on the Jews, and then you have a situation where they fade from history. Take a look a little more recently. England. In the early 1900s, you have the Balfour Declaration, yeah. which is England basically saying that they have control of the Middle East at that point, and we're going to give Israel back their biblical lands.
Yeah.
And what happened was we were in, they had just come out of World War I, and they found that oil was important, and the next thing you know, The promise is a smaller sliver of land. And what happened to Great Britain? They are no longer great.
They are just England.
And then lastly, Germany. Hitler was going to have a Third Reich, his 1,000-year reign. He knew what the millennium was. He thought he would be the head of it. Lasted 12 years.
Yeah. Wow. And I wanted to just toss this little bit in. When we talk about Babylon, modern-day Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about Persia, modern-day Iran.
Yeah.
So people, even though the names have changed, the players are still there.
Amen.
And just like Israel, God's plan is still the same for God's people. And he's telling us, he's telling everybody here, go out and, as Christians, open your mouth in the marketplace to the Jew first, but start talking to just everybody you meet, telling them the good news of Jesus Christ. Do we encourage our people for next week? Do we encourage our people to call back in and let us know, have you spent any time witnessing to anybody?
Exactly.
Did you approach anybody with the good news of Jesus Christ?
And here's good news for you. You can tell us also on Facebook. You can look us up on Facebook, and we'll respond to your comments and questions on Facebook at Good Shepherd GSBC. Listen for the Joy on Facebook. Look us up. Give us your questions. Give us your queries. And tell us how you responded to witnessing in your own personal way.
You know what else I'd like to know? When you're thinking about how you're going to approach somebody else with the good news of Jesus Christ, stop and think how somebody loved you enough.
Amen.
To tell you about Jesus. You didn't just wake up one day and say, hallelujah, praise God. No, somebody gave you the message. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's very important that we focus in on this witnessing process. Oh, I got to tell you, Eddie gave me a word. Eddie's always playing, and he's like my walking dictionary. And he gave me a word. He said, there's a word called fungible. And I said, who in the world uses the word fungible? And so Eddie says, well, fungible means that when something comes alongside. No, you tell him. And then I'll tell you my response. All right, you go. Tell him.
Fungible is like money. When you have money, it's fungible because you can use it for whatever you want. When you give someone a gift, like we were talking about Planned Parenthood at the time, and they say, well, we won't use that money for this cause. Well, you'll use it for some other cause, but the money that you free up will be used for whatever cause you want. It's like if I give you a dollar for just food, a sandwich.
Okay.
You use that dollar for a sandwich, but the 50 cents you had to buy food, you'll use to buy liquor. Because money is fungible.
Money is fungible.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so since when he told me what money was fungible, so I had to break it down to where I could understand it. So I said it's kind of like, you know, when you have what do you call it, like athlete's feet, and you know, you get this thing on your feet, and it just goes everywhere. Well, I know that's a very crass kind of low kind of thing, but I want you to understand when you got Jesus, when you got the joy of salvation, it should spread. Everybody around you should know this man got what they say in the Bible. I perceive these men have been with Jesus. And that's what we want to get the folks out here to hear and understand. When you walk into a room and people start talking and cussing and start talking crazy, don't say, oh, no, that's okay. I'm a Christian. That is offensive.
That's
and
right.
So, because then what you do will become fungible with them. Because don't forget, many of the people in there talking like that, they go to church every Sunday. They're with you. So, you know, we aren't better than they are. But we want to encourage all to be a living testimony. He goes, it's the least we can do. It's a reason.
And that's how we bless others.
The
way we bless others is letting them know by our actions that we are in Christ Jesus and that our joy is what supersedes everything else and all the problems of our lives because Christ himself has given us that joy. I'm Eddie, and this is Pastor Will.
Pastor Will?
Of the Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And we've got with us Dr. Jeff Gutterman of Aerial Ministries. Thank you for your time, and thank you for listening.
And we will be back again on the 16th of this month. And Dr. Gutterman won't be with us on our next meeting, but we're going to pick up this issue. God bless.